Digital 410 Productions proudly presents the What's in Your Head podcast.
Digitized live from
your company name here.
Your studios in Cape Coral, Florida. It's the What's in Your Head podcast.
What's up? What's up, OG5? Welcome to another episode of the What's in Your Head podcast. You guys won't hear the two takes that just happened prior to this because, well, I'm sick and I'm losing my goddamn mind. But we have not a sponsor per se, but a partnership. A few weeks ago, Morgan and I were talking about our friends over at a vendor that we partner up with on our website who sent me some gear, which, as we discussed last week, resulted in that funny little meme of myself, which is our friends over at 1791 Everyday Carry. Myself and Dennis were talking about this on the What's the Scuttlebutt podcast this week, so I'm going to ask you guys two the same question because you are similar rugged-ass men, and this question with what you do for a living will work just fine. Morgan, name two items that you carry in your pockets every day that become cumbersome.
Oh, a pen and a... Well, I have a pen, a flashlight, and a pocket knife that I always carry.
And how about you, Mike?
And...
Razor knife, usually on a regular. And if I was going to, that's really the only thing that I do carry. But if I was going to carry something else, probably a mini flashlight.
And the worst part about carrying those items is one of two things. Either you have jeans on that fit, and so those things stab you in the legs, or you have pants on that are too big. And so when you sit in your truck, you get rolled and all your crap falls out of your pockets and in between your seat and your console. Then you got to get out and dig underneath there, dig between 3-month-old French fries and that weird tater tot, even though you haven't eaten a tater tot since 1985. But for some reason, there's a tater tot underneath your seat and you got to find those items. But worst case scenario, if you have a new car, then you, well, this don't apply to Morgan because he drives a 1983 square body Chevy. But if you have a newer car, you get that white lithium grease all over the back of your hand because they have it underneath the seat to make it smooth, real nice. You know, Morgan, you have like a bench seat, right? That thing doesn't even move by like a quarter of an inch.
Oh no, I've got buckets in a console.
Oh, he upgraded to he pulled some bucket seats out of a 1995 Chevy S10. But anyhow, our friends over at 1791 EDC, after I did my pictures and videos and I fulfilled my obligation for the stuff they sent me, they were so happy with the last video I did. They said, well, anything else we can do for you? And I said, yes, we are always looking for vendors to provide us quality stuff to give away to our patrons, our Patreon members. And they said, sure, we'll send you a box. And boy, howdy, did they.
Boy, howdy.
Boy, howdy. I got the box in the mail when I was out sick, showed up at my office. And I was showing you guys this. My everyday carry. I have my Kmart folder and I got my Glock magazine. And so they sent me some items. They sent me three items. They sent me the everyday carry standard action snap-on small flex, which is basically what I just showed you guys here. They sent me another one, a burgundy one, nice and pretty. So it's the same as this, which if you guys carry multi-tools, flashlights, whatever, what have you. That thing is a value of $49.95. They sent me this cool guy. This is the Everyday Carry Standard Easy Slide Canted Solo. Basically, you can put this on your belt and put your Leatherman in there, your multi-tool, flashlight, whatever. This guy's a value of $24.99. And then they also sent me one of these originally. It's to replace that hard plastic cumbersome money clip. It also has a pocket for a flashlight and any other items. They sent another one of those right here. Included in a nice leather keychain. So total value, whoops, of over $100. Send me a total value of $100. And what we're going to do is we're going to pass this on to one lucky winner of our Patreon. All you have to do is subscribe. Go to whatsinyourhead.com or d-410.com. Sign up and subscribe for any one of the three tiers. Doesn't matter if it's the dollar tier, the $7.50 tier, or the $3 tier. At the end of October, we want to give everybody plenty of time to sign up. So it's September now. At the end of October, we'll draw a name on this podcast, and the winner will win all three of those. And so that's a great prize, over $100 value. All you have to do is sign up and subscribe, which you want to anyhow, to help support the cause of what we do here. So thanks to our friends over at Everyday Carry 1791, or technically, thanks to our friends over at 1791 Everyday Carry. You can find more information by going to d-410.com or whatsinyourhead.com and click on the 1791edc.com logo on the right-hand side. And by doing that through our website, it'll let them know that we sent you. And since our original relationship with them, their parent company, 1791 Gun Leather, has created a relationship with us. So, you know, maybe you don't work in the field, maybe you don't have multi-tools, things in your pocket, but you carry a firearm and you're looking for a new holster for your firearm or your magazines or what have you. You can also go to our website, whatsinyourhead.com, click on the 1791 Gun Leather link, and that'll take you to their website and purchase a holster or anything that suits your firearm needs. Thanks to them for supporting the show. It's been a long 4 or 5 days. Still got the cough. So we live here in Southwest Florida, and we had a very sad thing happen 2 weeks ago now. A young 21-year-old woman by the name of Ariel went for a run on a Wednesday night and vanished. And the story went national, picked up on all the big news. New York Post covered it, Daily Mail covered it. And as details started to come out on Facebook, it went from looking nefarious to, you know, one of the worst case scenarios. You always hear about, you know, women runners getting, you know, horrible things happen to them. Don't even want to speculate. But we've all heard the stories of women running in Central Park or wherever. The worst case scenario happening to them. And for the public and the and those of us out of the loop, that was kind of where we were kind of heading, right? But as the story started developing on Facebook, her family reached out and said, hey, you know, we're concerned she ran away. She's hiding from us because she had been suffering from some mental health issues. And she has agreed. And I'm not saying anything out of school. This is all stuff they posted publicly on Facebook. So I'm not saying anything out of school. She agreed to go start going to therapy, but we haven't heard from her or talked to her. And the authorities released the last known photo of her, which was her running. It was a video from the traffic camera on Edison Bridge in North Fort Myers, looking towards downtown Fort Myers. And you see her running onto the bridge, and that's the last they've seen of her. And over the next few days, all the run groups around here started, you know, looking for her, and families looking for her. And I'm like, well, why don't they just look at her Strava? You know, they got pictures of her running 5Ks, 10Ks. She's training for a marathon. I'm like, well, just look at her Strava. See where her Strava went. And Carrie's like, well, she left her phone at home. I'm like, what? She went out running, but she left her phone at home? For those who don't know, if you have a Garmin watch, when you run, this uses GPS, but it doesn't track you in real time. Once you're done running, you hit save, then it synchronizes with your phone, and then your phone synchronizes the Strava. So if you don't have your phone with you, even if you have a GPS tracking watch on you, unless I'm sure they could have pulled warrants and contacted Garmin if she would have had a running watch and gone that route. But over the quickness of this whole thing escalating. And so Carrie was looking into this stuff. I was aware of it and I posted the story, but I hadn't been keeping up with it. And Carrie was telling me, well, she left her cell phone at home, according to her family. And then Carrie showed me, here's the last video they seen of her running over the bridge. I'm like, they have video of her running onto the bridge? She said, yeah. Now, for those of you who listened to this podcast for a while, I talked that I made that run twice from here in Cape Coral to the Starbucks in downtown Fort Myers and back. Well, I run over that Edison Bridge. That's the same route. I go down Pondella up 41, and so I ran that same route. And I've run that bridge I've ran Edison Bridge probably 100 times in the last 5 or 6 years, including two races. And I'm like, well, that doesn't make sense that they have video of her going onto the bridge but not coming off the bridge. She's like, well, no one said they don't have video of her coming off the bridge. They just haven't released it. I said, well, if they would have it, they would release it. Otherwise, you would think the worst case scenario. And I'm like, to run that route, you go over the bridge and coming down, you pick up speed. You have two options, two logistical make sense options. One, you hang a right on the first street, which she would clearly have been picked up by the surveillance cameras from the big white condo there that they just rebuilt. Or you keep going straight and go two blocks. You're going to be at the corner of MLK and 41, which they would have picked you up on cameras there too. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, this sucks. She clearly jumped off the bridge. You know, family's reporting mental health issues. She left her phone at home. They got video of her going on to the bridge, but not coming off the bridge. Long story short, 3 days later, they found her body in the water. Sheriff's confirmed there's no indication of third-party interaction. Family confirmed she'd been suffering from mental health issues. All counts, it looks like she jumped off the bridge. So the running community here in Southwest Florida came together, and run groups from Cape Coral, Fort Myers, Estero, Gateway, they all came down, and I went down there last Thursday, and the video's up on my YouTube channel. I'm only in it once. It wasn't about me. It was about the run. The only time you see me is I'm explaining who all showed up. And it was cool to have 150 people running. We ran from Centennial Park up over the bridge and back. But you guys were both in boot camp. You guys had to run a lot. You know, when you run with a large crowd, way to motivate people, a lot of cheering, let's go. You know, you've got to run and turn around. Somebody's there. Come on, come on, come on. You know, you got that, you know, that loud camaraderie. And if you ever go to a 5K or you ever run in a run group, it's, you know, you run past people. Well, obviously, this is a very somber run. So we went down there, had the moment of silence. Wink News was down there, and we're all running, but it's super quiet, kind of eerie, as you would expect it to be. But we got a little weird just because people don't know why we're down there running. Not everybody watches the news. Not everybody's runners up to date what's going on. So as we ran away from the collection point, we're heading down First Street. We run by groups of people, and they just seen, here's 150 people running. Clearly, there's a race. And so, yeah, they start cheering, which felt a little out of place. But you understand, hey, they don't know what's going on. I got to say, man, it was kind of surreal to be running over this bridge that we all knew that this poor young lady jumped off of 4 days ahead of time prior to us being there. And it was a very, very somber moment. I'm glad I did it. It was nice to see the running community come out and, you know, make aware that there are options out there, that, you know, there's places to go, people to call. And not to get too deep into all this, but I posted a couple of stories that are about 4 or 5 years old on Fail to Fail about 2 months ago, long before this ever happened. And it's an interesting article talking about how endurance athletes, ultra marathon runners, people who run 150, 200 miles, marathon runners, people who go, you know, ride these long distance bike rides, people who do these adventure races, people who tend to do hobbies that cause physical pain for long periods of time, that they find an alarming percentage of them have suffered some sort of childhood trauma that results in depression in their adult life. There's just, I guess maybe it's the fact that they're putting themselves through that sort of pain, that there is a correlation that they, through study, they can see that people who participate in these type of events have, you know, they suffer more than your football player or basketball player or volleyball player with depression and are victims of some sort of childhood abuse. And so it was nice to kind of get the word out there about mental health amongst the run community and all that. And so I was glad I did that. And the reason I bring all this up is, as you can hear the sound of my voice, as I previously said, I've ran this 2 miles 100 times before. I get like a quarter mile down the road and I start getting winded. I start getting pains up my legs, up my foot. But I just stopped and I said, well, I'm here to film anyhow. So I just stopped and filmed, and it took me like, I don't know, 38 minutes to run this 2 miles. And I'm like, what is wrong with me? And I said, well, clearly I've been overtraining. I've been running, you know, I'll run one night, and if I'm not running 4 or 5 miles, the next night I'm putting on my 18-pound plated vest and then my 18-pound ruck, and I'm walking 3 miles around my neighborhood plus lifting weights. And I've just clearly been overtraining. I've only had 2 rest days in the last week. It's the only thing I could think of that could, why I can't do this run. That was on Thursday. And I was driving home feeling just like, question, like, well, what the fuck am I doing? You know, I've been doing all this fitness. I can't do a 2 mile run without being at the back of all these people. Woke up the next morning, my throat was killing me. And my head was just, felt like I was swelling up. You know, you ever get that head cold where you just feel like you want to put a hole in and drain your sinuses because the pressure's so tight? Well, my boss had just gotten over sickness, because as I said, I think on the last episode, when you guys were talking about me brown as my boss, I explained that he was in Detroit. Well, he brought back some creepy crud with him from Detroit and apparently passed it on to me. And so the reason turns out that I hit the wall on this run is I think I have sick. Don't know if it's probably COVID. I don't know. But anyhow, I've just been dealing with this freaking head cold since last Friday. So I woke up Friday and went to work. My boss was like, it's slow. Go home. I said, well, I'll just work from home. If you know, I'll look at my laptop and answer tickets. If you need me, hit me up on Teams. I got in bed Friday, stayed in bed all day Saturday, got up, I think, drove to McDonald's, driving the car, AC blast, and I just got sweat rolling down my back, feel it in your ass crack. It's just like my whole body's just sweating. Went back home, stayed in bed all day Saturday, woke up, went to work Monday, ended up going home, working from home again, stayed home yesterday, went back to work today. I feel better-ish. I still got the cough, the bad voice, and the stuffy head, but... crazy thing is my boss is going out of town again on Monday. So I told him, I said, well, you just got healthy enough now that you're going to get on a plane, get sick again. And then in 2 weeks from now, at the end of the month, I'm flying to Kentucky. So by the time I get this shit out of my system, I'm going to be sitting on a plane full of recirculated disease and get sick again. So for the next month or so, he and I are going to be passing off diseases like two high school kids passing off fucking, oh crap. See, this is COVID brain.
Mono,
thank you. Passing off mono from making out with all the dirty girls at school. So yeah, it's like back and forth. So, so my head is just like, boo. So how you all doing? How you all doing?
I'm good. It's, today is my 31st wedding anniversary.
I was gonna say, don't try to say it's your 31st birthday. Cause you're way older than that.
Oh shit, no. I'm almost on my second go round of being 31, so
you'll be the first person on Digital 410 Media that's eligible for Social Security.
I'll probably drop out long before I get there.
Well, you already got your AARP card, so that's the only thing you have left to look forward to.
They actually do send me stuff all the time. I would never join that. I'd probably join AMAC instead. But you know,
see, if we lived in Ohio,
admit that yet.
If we lived in Ohio, you'd be eligible for the Golden Buckeye card, so that when you went to a place such as Waffle House, you'd be eligible for the senior discount.
All right.
Oh yeah. I don't know. I'm still good with paying full price. So I got a few years yet before I'm willing to take a senior discount.
So you're saying the price of your pride is not worth $4 off your Bob Evans meal?
Yeah. I'd rather spend the $4.
$4?
Well, you still get military discounts, so there's your $4 right there.
Oh yeah. Yep. And I actually didn't utilize that for a very long time.
I didn't
it's
either.
Probably just probably been in the last 2 or 3 years.
Yep.
That that I started, you know, wrapping my head around it's okay to, you know, take advantage of that.
Yeah.
And I don't know about you, but I actually almost got an Article 15. Because I wouldn't wear a ribbon because I didn't feel that I earned it. So,
really?
You know, I got a National Defense ribbon for serving during Desert Storm.
Right.
And I didn't go anywhere or do anything. So it came time for our, you know, our Christmas, you know, get together. And of course, got to be in Class A. So they go through with your service record and make sure that you're wearing all the ribbons that you're supposed to. And they're like, hey, you're missing this medal. And I'm like, yeah, I know. And they drug me, you know, through the chain of command all the way up to the colonel. And I said, hey, go ahead, sir. You know, give me the Article 15 because I'm not doing it. I said, we've got guys in this unit that, you know, went to Kuwait and, you know, got shot at and, you know, did something to actually earn it. I said, I think it's an insult to them.
Yeah.
That, you know, I got this. So, you know, I didn't, Yeah, because my service looks so much different than what I believed it should look like.
Yeah.
I didn't take advantage of a lot of stuff that I probably should have over the years.
Right. My service was like that too. I was actually in training. Where was I? I was in Missouri. And I got another set of blues. And we were putting all of our stuff on, you know, the basics and all that stuff. And I had actually gotten one. It's a global war on terrorism.
Mm-hmm.
And I got that. I don't remember how I got that, or I just know it was on my service record. And nobody ever awarded it to me or gave it to me or anything. Like it was just there. And
is it a unit?
That was the same thing with me. I got the Desert Storm service medal.
Right.
And just because I was on active duty during Desert Storm.
Exactly. And I had gotten that.
I wouldn't wear that one either.
Right. I had gotten the Global War on Terrorism, and I put that on mine because I thought I was supposed to. And I actually had NCOs come in and go, why do you have that, you know, as part of your ribbons? And I was like, it's on my paperwork. And they were like, well, that doesn't make any sense. And I was like, well, you'd have to look at my paperwork. So they did, and they found it, and they went, wow, that's weird. You're like one of the only ones in training right now that has one of those ribbons. And they were thinking it was a mistake or something like that, but I don't know. I ended up getting it, and
Mike said, trust me,
I got it, and that was it.
I would have preferred not to have to buy the thing.
Yeah, there was a few awards and medals that I got that I don't think I deserved, but they're on my freaking it's a character service record or whatever the hell it is, or biographical sketch, mm-hmm. as awards that I won through my unit. And I guess they're supposed to be on my uniform. So,
well, it's interesting to hear that come from two modern day military personnel. Cause for those of us who watch Band of Brothers, there's that famous scene where they're in the bar after D-Day. Mm-hmm. And Cobb's giving grief to the new replacements because they have the presidential unit citation above their pocket. He's like, you guys, what do you have that for? You didn't earn that.
Yeah, you didn't earn
it. And they took it off because they, you know, and then Bull Randleman came over and said, what are you talking about, Cobb? You didn't earn it either. He's like, I was on D-Day. He's like, you never jumped. He's like, I got hit in a plane. He's like, you still never jumped. And so he kind of gave him grief, and he took it off too. So it's interesting to hear you guys say that as being, as you weren't griefed into not wearing it. You guys were told to wear it, even though you felt, in Morgan's case, I don't deserve this. And in Mike's case, like, why is this even on my record?
Yeah.
So it's interesting to hear you guys say that.
Same with him too. Like I was mission ready to go, you know, but I never went anywhere and did anything. And I struggled with a lot of that being an actual veteran and stuff like that, because I didn't fucking do anything.
Do you think that policy was put in place originally, not nowadays with computers, but originally for simplicity of bookkeeping for the military from back in the day when all this stuff was done via typewriter? And instead of saying, okay, out of this battalion, these 400 guys get it, these 200 guys don't, these guys just screw it, give it to the whole unit so it's just easier for the bookkeeping part of it?
Well, that's what unit citations are about, for sure.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. When your unit gets a medal, everybody gets it.
Yeah.
As opposed to,
even if you weren't there because you just got assigned to that unit last week, you're still going to get it because your unit was there.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, if you didn't, like, I didn't get any of the medals that, like, my unit had deployed in 2006, 2007. I didn't get with them until, I want to say, 2010 or 11. So I wasn't actually assigned to that. So I didn't get any of the medals that they got during that campaign or anything like that. But while I was with them, anything that they had earned was given to me too. So I, you know, whether I did anything or not.
Your defense.
There were certain aspects of my unit that actually did some stuff. There were certain guys that deployed when, even when we didn't, you know, as a unit didn't go. Like individually, they would go deploy with another unit because they needed an extra driver or they needed, you know, a fueler or something like that. If they had a specialty and they were short for some other unit, they pull from other units to go with them. So there was mm-hmm. quite a few guys that did that.
Your defense medal, was that the actual medal or just the ribbon? Morgan.
It was just the ribbon on the Class A.
Yeah.
On the mortarboard.
What's the color scheme on that? Was it still the yellow with the red stripe, or did they change it for each campaign? I guess my question is, because in my shadow box I have the World War II equivalent of that, which is the yellow ribbon with the red stripe and then like the woman with the sword or whatever. Defense ribbon still the same for every campaign?
And then you get the he got the Global War on Terror ribbon. I got the Desert Storm campaign ribbon.
Yeah.
Which I don't remember what that, I think that's green and.
Yeah, that,
I don't
that
know,
was.
I got one somewhere.
That was basically, that was, you know, you served during that time. That was the same reason why I was told that I got mine, was that I joined and I served while there was an active war going on. Mm-hmm. So that was something that I they wouldn't get that because it's not an active war anymore. So that's no longer
right. But the thing that I realized, and it took me years to figure it out, is that, they say the army crawls on its belly.
Yeah.
So, if you're a cook, you're doing, you're doing your part for the effort. Part of what I did was I commissioned and decommissioned equipment going to and coming back from, from overseas.
Right.
So, I think a lot of guys have a picture of, unless you're on the front line chewing dirt, somehow your service is less than. Now, I will never, ever in a million years claim to be a combat veteran because I'm not.
Right.
And that would take away from the guys that actually went and did it. So, but that doesn't make my service less important. It just makes it different.
Yeah, and that's something that service members struggle with. I struggled with that. You struggled with that even. I've never felt like I've talked with, Ron about this quite a bit because he served in tours over in Afghanistan. I've talked to a good friend of mine.
He was 82nd, wasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he was 82nd Airborne.
But between him and then my other buddy who I didn't ever served with Ron, but my other buddy, I served with him. He's done multiple tours to Afghanistan. I don't know if he's been to Iraq, but to Afghanistan and even talking with him, it's like, you still signed your name on the dotted line, regardless of what you couldn't control your military career. Your NCOs, your units, your battalions, all that, going up even, federally and in some cases state, those things, that's all controlled by them. So you can request to get deployed if you want to, if you're fucking crazy enough to do that. I don't know. I know there are guys that have been deployed that were scared shitless that, that's all they want to do now. They want it. That's where they need to be. They need to be over there. That's what they need to do. I know there are guys that are out there that are like that, but it takes a lot to really, like, for a long time, I didn't consider myself a veteran at all. And I even had people question me, people that knew my military background. And like, I would wear a hat that would say U.S. Army veteran, just a typical, not combat veteran, not, OIF or anything like that, or, nothing, just U.S. Army veteran with the seal. And people would question me like, You didn't go overseas. You don't deserve to wear that. Okay, so, you know, what the fuck? Like, you know, I'm just because I didn't deploy means that I didn't fucking sign my name up. Like, I was willing and ready for the entire duration of my career when I was in.
You were in the deck. It wasn't your fault you didn't get dealt in that hand.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, we were exactly. At one point, you know, and I don't have to explain myself to anybody, but, you know, at one point in my career, like, we could have gone. You know, there was an opportunity for that to happen. It didn't happen. We didn't get called for that service. So, you know.
Well, actually, when I was in, they were, it was early in Desert Storm. Mm-hmm. And they thought that they were going to need a gazillion bullet catchers like they needed in Vietnam.
Right.
So right out of basic, we had orders cut. We had all of our shots. We had all of our gear issued. They told us, it's like, you know, as soon as you graduate, you know, kiss your mom and dad goodbye because you're going over to the sandbox.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you know, I was 19. I was like, hell yeah, let's do it.
Yeah.
And we actually had guys in our, you know, basic training unit that had been in Vietnam that they essentially came back and went through basic again because they thought they were going to get to go and fight some more.
Right.
And as soon as they rescinded our orders, there were all these guys in their mid to late 30s. They're like, oh, you know, my back hurts. Oh, I blew out my knee. You know, once they figured out they weren't going to go get to fight, they're like, I'm not doing this.
Yeah.
So that was kind of an interesting time.
Well, and stuff like that is probably the reason why the VA is so picky about who they give medical benefits to as well. Well,
yeah, that's true. Yeah, I've actually never been to the VA, and I'll never go. I've always been fortunate enough to have private insurance, and that's probably why I'm in as good a shape as I am.
I have been 2 times. I was going to try and follow up on a couple of things that I thought, this seems, you know, it's legit. I wasn't bullshitting. Like, I, you know, they gave me boots that were way too fucking small. And that hurt my feet. And, you know, part of it was my ankle and, you know, hurting my ankle quite often. And, you know, just being in boots and on hard ground and shit all the time and running in boots and doing, you know, shit like that. And I went in to go fight it, and they were like, well, we'll build a case, but don't get your hopes up because you don't have a paper trail. I was like, well, that was me being stupid and not going to the doctor when I should have.
Yep.
And just going, fuck it, I'm fine. I'll just push through and fucking, you know, hoo-ah and just move on. But yeah, yep. I went to our local VA in Cape Coral, and then they sent me to Bay Pines, which is, where the hell is that?
Tampa.
Yeah, Tampa. And I would do, I think I went there to do a physical on the, no, there I went to do a hearing test. That's right. Because they couldn't do it down here for some silly reason. And I got denied on both claims, so.
Yeah.
Of course.
So we're going to switch over to Tinfoil Hat Corner.
Oh, do,
strap on your tinfoil hat. It's time for the tinfoil hat corner.
Yay.
Tinfoil hats seem to rub and leave a rash. Did you guys watch the debate last night?
I couldn't.
I watched part of it.
Me neither.
I couldn't come bring myself to do it.
I didn't watch any of it either, but I did see the clips and the photos this morning. You guys familiar with the Nova H1 audio earrings?
I know what you're referring to.
I wasn't familiar until today.
Me neither. This German startup company is getting a lot of promotion. Go ahead.
I do love my bone conducting headphones, though.
I'm a fan of
those. Go up to like your temple or something, or like